Look at the Sicha is Chelek Yud Sicha Aleph Parshas VaYeshev. Parshas VaYeshev tells us the dreams of Yosef. In describing his first dream to his brothers, Yosef says in Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Zayin, "Vihine Anachnu Ma'al Mimalumim." This is what I saw in my dream. Behold, we are binding sheaves b'soy chasode in the midst of a field. Vihine Kama Alumasi. V'gam nitzva, and my sheaf arose and stood upright, v'hine tisuvena alumay seichem, and behold, your sheaves encircled mine, v'tishtachavena la'alumasi, and bowed to my sheaf. These words, ma'almim alumim, binding sheaves, are unfamiliar as yet in Torah. And so Rashi, seemingly for this reason, translates or explains the words. Rashi's explanation brings us several terms, each one seemingly to facilitate the student's understanding of ma'almim alumim. In Rashi, we will encounter the term ma'asrin asaron, binding. This is the term used in the Targum to explain ma'almim alumim. And the term omrin, sheaves, bundles. To support these terms as explanations, Rashi brings examples of the term alumaysav from Tehillim. The words noisei alumaysav, he carries his bound sheaves, and an example from the Mishnah, quoting the term in the context of its source, v'ha alumays noitel umachriz, and one who finds harvested bundles in a public area, takes them and declares his find. Rashi reads as follows. Me'almim alumim are the divrei hamaschil, binding bundles. Kitargumai, as the Targum renders the meaning of this in Aramaic. Ma'asrin asaron, binding, tying bundles. And then Rashi adds the word omrin, in other words, sheaves of harvested wheat. V'chein, and so too we have this word in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Chavav, which talks about the days of Mashiach, and concludes with the words, those who sow with tears will reap with song. He will go along weeping, carrying valuable seeds, and he will then return with song, noisei alumaysav, carrying his harvested sheaves. Rashi then continues and brings ukimayhu belashen Mishnah. In the Mishnah, in Baba Metzia, there is the similar term, v'ha'alumays noitel umachriz, if one comes upon hefker, harvested sheaves, which could not be overlooked by one's owner because they are large and immovable, one takes noitel umachriz and declares his find. Baruch Hashem, we've been learning Rashi Sichas together since Yud Shvat, which means that we're beginning to understand the pattern of the Rebbe's teaching and understanding of Rashi. And so, of course, in this Rashi, we recognize that there are many questions. For starters, Rashi often quotes Targum and says, Kitargumai, as the Targum renders it. But Rashi doesn't necessarily bring the words of the Targum's rendering, leaving it to the student to look into Targum on his own. Why here does Rashi choose to bring the words of the Targum? Then, the word Omrin, which is to explain alumim. It seems as though it should be a davar acher, a second explanation on its own, separate from ma'asrin asaron. A third question that arises is that we have discussed many times that Rashi brings a second explanation when the one explanation won't suffice. In our case, it would seem that the example of noisei alumaysav from Tehillim, he will carry valuable seeds and he will then return with song, noisei alumaysav, carrying his sheaves, should suffice to support the meaning of ma'almim alumim, particularly as the second support isn't in Tanakh, but rather it's from a Mishnah. Furthermore, in offering an example of similar usage with noisei alumoisov, the word noisei, he will carry, seems unnecessary. It doesn't seem to add anything to the support Rashi is providing for his explanation of alumim. And the same seems true, too, for the sample given from the Mishnah. What is the point of the words noitel umachriz? He takes them and declares it. The word we are looking for is only alumim. And Rashi is particular and very specific in the words he adds or omits in his explanations. And so the Rebbe explains. Rashi's intention is not only to explain that ma'almim alumim means they were binding and tying harvested bundles, but deeper than that, they were binding sheaves of wheat. These alumim bundles were bundles of wheat, omrin. Let's explain this. Yosef's dream was like Yosef himself said in interpreting the dreams for Pari in Mitzrayim 17 years later, Es asher ha'olekim oise higid. What God is doing, this is what he told. These dreams are true prophecies and tell the future. Yosef's dreams told of a true prophecy that his brothers would in the future bow to him, just as their sheaves were bowing to Yosef's sheaf. Which is precisely why when Yosef told his brothers his dreams, they responded with, "Do you intend to rule over us?" For this precisely was the essence of these dreams. And therefore, the Torah tells us as well that Yaakov, his father, recognizing that these dreams of his ben zekunim, the child of his old age, spoke of a future, and that they were truly prophetic, Aviv shamar es hadavar, his father awaited this matter. Mamtinu mitzape masa yavai. And Rashi says he awaited and looked forward in expectation of the fulfillment of these dreams. And so we understand that the details of his dreams spoke to the details of the events that the dreams foretold. Therefore, Rashi explains alumim with the word omrin. They were particular bound bundles, harvested sheaves of wheat. Not just bound bundles, but the future events would be best represented as bound sheaves of harvested wheat specifically. And indeed, 17 years hence, as we learn in the portion of Miketz, the Torah relays that the fulfillment of Yosef's dream manifests. There was a hunger in the land of Canaan, where Yaakov and his sons resided. And the sons of Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, where the wheat harvest had been stockpiled under Yosef's guidance and rule, and there they bowed to their brother and bought wheat from him. And so the words that define of Yosef's dream are significant because when they bowed before him, it was because they had come for wheat, for Yosef's wheat where he ruled, and they bowed. This helps us understand why Rashi used the words of the Targum, ma'asrim asorim, bound bundles, and didn't suffice with just kitargumai, as the Targum says. In Targum Yerushalmi and other printings of Rashi, as well as other sources, the words ma'almim alumim are explained with the words machrichin krichin, which might mean both binding and encircling, or more specifically, wrapping, like the modern Hebrew word krich for sandwich, and like the way we are commanded to eat the korach on Pesach, wrapped one thing within the other. Rashi's intention is to explain that the bound bundles were of harvested wheat, Now, wheat cannot be wrapped. It must by nature be bound. Wrapped wheat would just disperse in the wind. And so to ensure that we understand that ma'almi ma'lumim is about wheat, harvested wheat, Rashi brings the words of Targum that indicate bound, ma'asrin asaron, and to support that very explanation, Rashi brings the word omrin, sheaves. It's not a separate explanation. Rather, it supports our understanding of ma'asrin asaron and ensures we don't mistakenly understand alumim as wrapped. And to further ensure our understanding of these alumim as bound bundles of harvested wheat, and that the emphasis is on the harvested wheat and not on the bound bundles, Rashi continues and brings the term noisei alumaisa from Tehillim. He carries his wheat crops in bundles, the ones he planted in tears. And then to negate the possibility that we consider any other explanation of these bound bundles being fully developed crops and harvested, as opposed to bound sacks carried away by the planters after threshing, Rashi brings the words from the Mishnah, V'ha'alumais noitel u'machrivs. These bound bundles that are being referenced here in the Mishnah are within the context of a decision about the laws of lost items that seem ownerless and have been found by an individual. In this example, large bundles of harvested grain in a secluded versus a public area, which can be taken but must be declared. In other words, their find must be announced. These bundles of harvested wheat would be heavy and would not get blown around. Now, as to why the words of Tehillim, Noisei Alumaisav, are needed, if we have the explanation of the Mishnah, is because the words of Torah are specific to the times, and the words of Mishnah specific to their times. And so words of Torah, Tehillim, are in closer consonance to the meaning of Alumais, and indeed, therefore, this association is brought first in Rashi. All of this, understood through the lens of Chassidus, the Yena Shel Torah, is as follows. In Torah on our Parsha, the Alter Rebbe explains the service of Ma'almim Alumim as the spiritual avoda of Birur, rectification, collecting, rectifying, and elevating the sparks that fell and separated from their source of light in the spiritual experience of Shviras HaKelim. Elevating these sparks so they are once again unified in their ultimate source of divine light, binding the harvested sheaves of wheat together. As this reflects in one's soul work, this is the idea of going out into the field of one's world, where all the wheat lies strewn about, the different aspects of one's physical life are strewn about, and gathering them into the singular effort of binding all these things together and elevating them, revealing their divine source, so that there is a total unification and harmony between body and soul. This happens through one's study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs. And then there is the effort and work with someone else, leaving one's comfort zone and going out to those on the outside, gathering them back into the light of Torah, to tshuva, through drawing them near to Pnimius HaTorah, the inner dimension of the light of Torah. This defines the work of the Rabbeim, who sent Shluchim even to distant and foreign places in the world to gather in the sparks and to reveal there the wellsprings of Chassidus. So when Rashi says Ma'almim Alumim means Ma'asrin Asaron, the binding is to elevating one so that he becomes Mekusher, bound up with his source, not just wrapped up in it, perhaps as part of a community, but with an everlasting bond in his personal service of God, in a way where real change happens and all the winds and whims of the world around don't sway him or cut him off from his new commitment to Torah. And the advice Rashi gives as to how to do this is in the next word, amorin, sheaves. For this bond to take hold and last, this must be harvested. These must be harvested sheaves of wheat which themselves will bring forth more crops, further harvest, and will be fruitful. This happens when one who is brought closer encourages another in his environment to draw near, solidifying thereby his own relationship with God. The ultimate result will be, as the pasuk concludes, your sheaves will surround my sheaf and will bow to my sheaf. A drawing near of another in a way that he connects to and is a humbled servant before the Nasi Hador. With this in mind, and the oft-repeated teaching that Shabbos affects the days of the week that precede it, and the days that follow, thereby connecting the days before Shabbos to the days after Shabbos, we consider that often Parshas Vayeshev lands on the Shabbos between the day of liberation of the Alter Rebbe, Yotis Kislev, and the days of Hanukkah, like this year. And, as is well known, the Torah portions are connected to the times they are read. So clearly these lessons in our Parsha are integrally connected to the day of Yotis Kislev, the day of the Alter Rebbe's freedom, and the flow of Chabad Chassidus without blockages, which precede this Shabbos, and the days of Hanukkah, which follow. This lesson of Ma'almim Alumim, gathering the sheaves, the effort to gather the dispersed sparks and to bind them to tshuva, is the combined message of Yotis Kislev and Hanukkah. Specifically, the Alter Rebbe's work was defined by his effort of making Baalei Tshuva. This effort is described and represented in the Alter Rebbe's explanation of a dream that the Mittel Rebbe shared with him one morning. In his dream, the Mittel Rebbe had seen a broad river. Its clear waters flowed vigorously, and though they were constantly replenished, there were no waves. As it flowed afar, it filled little ponds on all sides, but continued flowing with quiet energy. Two men wearing long cloaks were seen approaching. The taller man had one leg a bit thicker than the other leg. At a little distance, there were seen, though vaguely, two other men, and then the Alter Rebbe was seen to appear. Across this river lay a board. The shorter man instructed his taller colleague to step onto the board, but as he did so, it began to sink, and the water quickly rose to cover part of his body. The board rose again, but so did the water. This happened several times, and they alternated until the shorter man instructed him to step off the board. As this was happening, the two other figures had a few times approached from the distance and had receded. Throughout, they had remained indistinct, and from this point on, they were no longer observed. The remaining three then walked away, their arms in firm embrace, the shorter man in the middle, the taller man to his left, and the Alter Rebbe to his right. They continued until they came upon a great river, its many-colored waters flowing rapidly. On all sides, its waves rose and fell like waves of the sea. In the river far away, he saw a wave rise up and fall. Within a moment, other waves also made vigorous endeavors to rise up high, but they too fell upon the nearby banks. In no time, the little pool that each one formed was swallowed up in the ground and vanished, and fruit-bearing trees appeared there. While this was happening, he heard the authoritative voice of the shorter man. He was pointing at the Alter Rebbe and ordering him to walk along the board. The Alter Rebbe walked straight along it until he reached the end and then wanted to move it further along. However, the shorter man beckoned him to return and said, "With the power of these waves of water, one can pass intact even through waves of fire." The Alter Rebbe explained this dream to a concerned Mittel Rebbe and told him that the shorter personage was the Baal Shem Tov, the other was the Maggid of Mezrich, who suffered pain in his leg. By instructing the Maggid to walk along the board, the Baal Shem Tov sought to indicate that within the teachings of the Maggid's disciples, it was still possible to sink. The Alter Rebbe continued interpreting the dream to the Mittel Rebbe and said, "The second river is filled with the tears of Baalei Tshuva. 25 years ago, I heard from the Rebbe, in other words the Maggid, the Mashal, which likens Tzaddikim and Baalei Tshuva to two sons of one king. Hearing that Mashal, it became engraved in my mind that one should endeavor to bring every single Jew near to Yiddishkeit. Accordingly, I spent 5 years traveling from place to place, with my identity sometimes known and sometimes not, to rouse people in this direction." Following the Alter Rebbe's release on Yutes Kislev, the Aveda of Yafutzu Mainasecha Chutza began in earnest, the work of spreading Chassidus to the outermost places in greater measure, which is the Aveda of Ma'almim Alumim B'Sei Chassode, binding the sheaves in the midst of a field out where no one lives. In connection to Hanukkah, this is also the lesson of the lights of Hanukkah. The mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles, as explained in Chassidus, is to place the menorah al Pesach Beisei Mibachutz, at the doorway to one's home, towards the outside of one's home, so that the flames illuminate not only within one's private domain, but also the outside, the public domain, which is darkened by the three levels of impurities. Placing the menorah in this way allows the light of the flames to illuminate and elevate the sparks of the Shalosh Klipos HaTmeis, the three levels of impurity, which can be elevated. This is the service of tshuva, of repentance. Through this effort of binding sheaves, gathering together the outer sparks, through drawing close the collective heart of our people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our Father in Heaven, it will result in the promise, as expressed by the Rambam in the laws of tshuva, when our nation does tshuva, they are immediately redeemed. With the ultimate redeemer in the ultimate redemption, may it be speedily mamash.